Stage Dramas present The Ghost Fire. This week's front page drama, The Ghost Fire, is a dramatization of a feature article entitled England's Most Haunted House Commits Suicide, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. The many thousands of radio listeners who enjoy these front page dramas will remember that early last December we presented a thrilling dramatization of the history of the Borley Rectory in Suffolk, England. This rectory has justly earned the title of the most haunted house in England. But now the haunted house is no more. And we present the last tragic days of the most haunted house in England. First, we take you to the library of the home of the Episcopal Bishop of the Diocese of Suffolk.
I've invited you here today to meet Captain R.G. Gregson, a retired army officer whose hobby is psychic research. Captain Gregson, having read all about the many strange occurrences that you, gathered here today, have experienced in it, wants to rent the Borley Rectory. After the many odd occurrences, I locked and boarded up the place and declared it unfit for human inhabitants. Now, Captain Gregson here wants me to change my mind and rent the place to him. Captain Gregson has been most persistent in his efforts, and it's just as the idea that the old place is really haunted. Before allowing Captain Gregson to rent the place, I feel it my duty to let him hear from your own lips the amazing adventures you have all experienced while living in the Borley Rectory.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Your Reverence. I am sure it will be very interesting, and it will at least give me some advance notice of what to expect if and when those ghosts start to play some of their pranks on me.
Captain Gregson, this is no joking matter. But suppose we begin with Miss Martin. Miss Martin's grandfather built the rectory. During his lifetime, there were no psychic manifestations inside the rectory, although the ghost of a nun was seen often crossing the ground. After the death of her grandfather, Miss Martin's father, the Reverend Lionel Martin, took up residence there. Now, Miss Martin, will you continue from there?
Yes, Your Reverence. My first experience with the ghost of a nun occurred when I was about 18. I was sitting in the garden with my father when I saw a nun walking by the summer house. I called my father's attention to her, and thinking she was lost, my father sent me to help her. I ran over to speak to her, but she disappeared.
That is very interesting, Miss Martin. And did you ever see her again?
On several occasions. She walked through the grounds and would stop and look in at the drawing room and dining room windows. Every member of my family saw her distinctly on one occasion or another. Miss Stewart set my mother that she ordered the windows to be flipped up 2 or 3 feet.
Just high enough to prevent the ghost of the nun from looking in.
Yes. But when my father died, the weird manifestations inside the house began. One of our maids who had died in my father's arms was seen and heard. We continually heard her cries and whispers. She was tipsy, so that we were finally forced to move. We never went back. But while the house was empty, all locked up and boarded, reliable witnesses often saw strange blue light in the upstairs window.
Thank you, Miss Martin. And now, Your Reverence, who is your next witness?
One that, like yourself, rather stuffed at the stories of the old rectory, but was finally convinced.
Dr. Price.
Oh, yes, I've heard of the doctor's reputation as a ghost hunter.
Well, Captain Gregson, I was called in 3 years ago by the Reverend Dr. Brown's wife, who was then occupying the rectory and slowly being driven mad by the weird manifestation.
Well, this is really getting interesting. What were the manifestations?
Well, at night there were strange footsteps, whispers, and cries throughout the house. Books and other objects were thrown at them, keys jumped out of the locks, lamps and candles were extinguished by unseen hands, bells attached to wires, and the old-fashioned school system rang at all hours. Wires were disconnected, and still the bells kept ringing. Well, they finally came to me.
You came, and of course the ghost, knowing your reputation as a ghost hunter, went into hiding and nothing happened.
Well, that's what I expected, but I was unpleasantly surprised. My assistant and myself went over the entire house, inch by inch, looking for secret doors and hiding places. We sealed every entrance except the front door, which my male secretary stood guard.
And the manifestations still continue, Doctor?
Yes, and what is more, they were directed against me. Not only were books and small objects thrown at me, but once a heavy slab of tile, enough to crack my skull, just missed me. I was going upstairs in broad daylight when a tall glass candlestick came hurtling down at me, splintered to bits against an iron stove in the hall. In spite of all scientific precautions, no natural explanation could be found for any of those things.
Was it all this that made you decide to rent the place yourself for a year?
No. After the Browns left, The Reverend Dr. Morrison and his wife moved in. But I'll let them tell their own story. Dr. Morrison, tell Captain Gregson some of your experience.
Yes, of course. Well, Captain Gregson, much of the same type of manifestation was directed against me. Once I was almost struck with a heavy empty wine bottle. It was thrown at me on the stairs. On another occasion, the head of a hammer was thrown at me, hitting me by inches, striking the headboard of my bed. But my wife suffered even more. She had the most extraordinary adventure.
Sir, don't tell me these ghosts were not gentlemen and attacked defenseless women.
Yes, Captain Gregson and I don't know whether they were gentlemen or what they were, but they certainly were terrifying and inhuman. My second day in the house, something gripped my shoulder. As I ran downstairs, my puddles were coming to me. On another occasion, I took off my wristwatch to wash my hands, and the wristband from my watch disappeared. In the same bathroom, an old-fashioned gold wedding ring appeared to me. I found it on the washstand. I called my husband's attention to it, and he decided to leave it there and see what was happening. It disappeared, just as strangely as it had appeared. But the incident that finally caused us to call Dr. Price happened as I was going upstairs in broad daylight. I felt the presence of something or someone approaching on the stairs. Then came a sudden blow, perhaps a fist, but it struck me with such force that I was knocked downstairs. The blow blackened my eye and left a cut under it.
It was then, Captain Gregson, that I condemned the place as unfit for residence. But it wasn't much of a victory for the ghost. For although they had succeeded in driving out all the regular tenants, it gave me a chance to rent the place for a year to carry on the investigation. During that year, I employed a committee of 40 people to solve the mystery. And although there were plenty of additional strange manifestations, the mystery is still unsolved.
Well, despite all the evidence against the house, Your Reverence, I'm more determined than ever to want to live there. Will you rent the place for 1 year?
Very well, Captain Gregson. I have tried my best to persuade you to give up this foolhardy idea, but as long as you persist, I'll rent you the place. The money you offer will come in very handy for charity.
And so, with everything arranged, Captain Gregson moved into the haunted rectory. With his manservant, who had served him all through the war, he began to arrange a plan of action.
Well, Hawkins, it's just as I thought. A nice old house. We've been here all afternoon, and so far, not a sign of anything out of the ordinary.
If you're asking me, sir, I wouldn't say anything yet. Maybe them ghosts are waiting until it gets dark, and it won't be long now.
Oh, that's the point, Hawkins. The previous tenants have sworn that time makes no difference to these ghosts. They perform equally as well in broad daylight as they do at night.
Well, if you don't mind, sir, let's not brag about it. I wouldn't want to encourage them, sir.
Good heaven, Hawkins. Don't tell me you're afraid. After all we went through in the war. Didn't you win that DCM for bravery?
Yes, sir, but that's a different. I could see those Germans. I could feel them, capture them. It is something to get hold of. That's something you can't see like these dear spirits. Blimey, that's different, sir.
Nonsense, Hawkins. Now listen to me. The first thing we're going to do, we start to sort out and record the position of all these books. The previous tenants say they moved by themselves at times. I want to prove that fallacy first. So come on, let's get to
it. But if you ask me, I think we're just setting up trouble. Now, if it is me, I'd go...
Come, Hawkins. Don't be so clumsy.
I was here.
What, sir? Don't be clumsy. Are you so nervous you can't even carry a few books without dropping them?
I didn't have any books, sir. I had even touched one, so help me.
You mean you didn't pull those books off that shelf?
No, sir. I was 3 feet away from it.
You don't tell me they jumped out by themselves.
I ain't telling you nothing, sir, except I didn't catch them books. Tell me, there they go again. They started, sir. It's those young
ghosts. Oh, it's Hawkins. There's a poltergeist at work. I am delighted. Now, what else? Let's see some more of your tricks.
You're asking for it, sir? Why disturb them? They might get nasty, sir.
Now, Hawkins, don't get the wind up. I'm just anxious to see some more of these ghostly dresses.
Well, hadn't I better light the lamp, sir? It's getting sort of dark in here, a bit like...
A very good idea, Hawkins. We're going to continue to work on the books, and we need better light.
Yes, sir. A couple of army searchlights wouldn't be too much light in a place like this. These oil lamps don't throw off enough light.
Light the other one as well, Hawkins.
Don't worry, I was going to, sir. I feel safer with plenty of light. Who would that be, sir? Were you expecting someone?
No, I wasn't expecting anyone. And furthermore, there isn't anyone at the door, Hawkins. That bell up there has been disconnected.
Yes, sir. You need it at the... It rang all by itself, sir? Or did they ring it?
A nice demonstration. First the books and now the bell. I'm really beginning to enjoy being with you. You're living up to your reputation.
Yes, do you have to talk to him and encourage him, sir? Couldn't we sort of say what I mean, ignore them, sir?
Nonsense, Hawkins. A nice goat like anyone else, sir, needs a little friendly encouragement. Well, come on, Hawkins. Let's get back to sorting books.
Yes, very good. Now, I still think we ought to have spent the night at the air in our own room.
I say, Hawkins, you didn't do a very good job on those lamps. I told you to fill them with oil, clean the burners, and trim the wick.
I did, sir, tenants them all.
And the bird, those lamps are going out.
Meanwhile, Harry, the flame is changing color. It's turning to a pale blue.
Well, you're living up to your reputations, all right. All the reports say you're able to put out lamps and light them again. I would like to see you do that.
Oh, no, no, Barney, Governor, don't. Don't let him do that. Don't have him put us in the dark, sir.
Quiet, quiet, Hawkins. Look, why don't they are doing the trick? Look, Hawkins. Now they're getting bright again. Now, look, they're not full again.
Now, Blimey, Governor, it's driving me off the trolley. If it keeps up, I'll go bomb it, sir.
That's fine, my unseen friend. Thanks for the remarkable demonstration. Why, you really convinced me. Why, it's wonderful. I like you so much, I'm going to stay here with you for the rest of my life.
Quick, Hawkins, the lamp. They've upset.
That burning oil is spreading.
There it is, sir. Help try to beat out the flame.
Yeah, I will, sir.
Here, grab that cover.
Give me a hand here, sir.
Right.
Beat out those flames, Hawkins.
Yes, I will, sir.
The fire is spreading. It doesn't seem to go out.
Hurry.
Hurry, Hawkins. I've never seen her.
Hawkins,
what are those flames?
We can't hold them back.
There's water here, sir.
This room will soon be a mass of flames. Get water.
It's too late, sir. It's too late. We can't stop them. I'll go out and give the alarm, sir.
All right, Hawkins.
But hurry. Hurry.
Quickly, the flames spread, and before aid could be summoned, England's most haunted house burned to the ground. Did the lamps explode with any visible provocation, or did the ghosts commit what might be called spirit arson? The people of Farley, who know the history of the house, say yes. They say the ghosts have made it plain that they do not want people to live in the house. Their manifestations proved it. But when a man decided he liked them and was going to spend the rest of his life there, it was more than the ghosts could bear. You have just heard The Ghost Fire, which is a dramatization of a feature article entitled England's Most Haunted House Commits Suicide, which appears stupid. But when a man decided he liked them and was going to spend the rest of his life there, it was more than the ghosts could bear. You have just heard The Ghost Fire, which is a dramatization of a feature article entitled England's Most Haunted House Commits Suicide, which appears in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as a part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the maximum of reading enjoyment in the entertaining, educational, and up-to-the-minute stories, articles, and feature fiction by the world's best writers to be found in every issue of The American Weekly, the magazine distributed each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Frontpage Dramas presents The Road to Glory. This week's Frontpage Drama, The Road to Glory, is a drama.